So our reading today is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. So I'm starting at Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching.
Well, I'm here outside the St Matthew's Church building. As always, there is a sign just over there that says welcome, and there's another one just over there that says welcome. But when you get to the door, of course, it's locked, it's closed, and people have not been coming and going through the week. It's been closed all week. And it says here, staff's friendly, it says thanks for dropping by. And then it says this building is closed. And church buildings around the country are closed. And as that was happening, there was some debate and some discussion how essential is church. If some things are open and other things are not, where should church be in that? The writer of the Daily Telegraph, Tim Stanley, said that he thought Britain's religious leadership has fluffed the pandemic and said that by sealing up the churches as early as we did, that we were implying that church was less essential than things like odd bins, off-licences. Off-licences still open. Some things perhaps stayed open a little longer than churches did. And these restrictions will, I guess, be lifted in part and gradually and perhaps tightened again and lifted again. And it could be quite a long time ahead of us while that is going on. And each of us will be weighing up, well, what is essential in my life? And when, if I'm going to be allowed to leave home at some point, to some extent, will it be for church? When will that be reintroduced? How essential is that? How long is it okay to go without having church in the full sense? Now, a bit lower, below this sign, there's one there that says, well, we're meeting online, and you can phone us and you can email us. And of course, we're doing our best to do the best job we can of church. But it raises a really important question for us. How essential is church for you? How essential should it be? What does God say about that? We're going to hear what God says about it because we've been working through a part of the Bible called Hebrews, and we were due to start up again with Hebrews, and we're going to do that again today. And we just happen to have come to a part of Hebrews. Well, God always knows what we need to hear, and today he's going to speak to us about that. So you could have Hebrews open in front of you, chapter 10, and we're starting at verse 19. Let's look at that together. Well, we're looking for answers at the letter to the Hebrews. These are the sermons that I preached on Hebrews. If you were here for those, we started Hebrews. We looked at chapters 1 to 4 before Christmas. We looked at chapters 4 to 10. After Christmas and before Easter. And if you were here, you may well remember that the Hebrews were, some of them were in danger of giving up the habit of meeting together as a church. Now, when they first started out, they were very excited to follow Jesus. We read in the book of Acts earlier, we heard that story. We heard about people coming to know Jesus and how excited they were, to how devoted they were at the start to hearing about Jesus and meeting together and sharing their lives together. And they continued to do that even when they faced danger. It was actually dangerous for them to keep up their faith and to keep meeting together because of the persecution that they were facing at the time. Some were going to prison, some were having their homes taken from them. We'll read about that later in chapter 10. But that didn't stop them because they were just really eager to do it. But then something happened as time went on, as they got older. Something started to happen and they faced a bigger problem than persecution. they face the problem of apathy. And apathy turned out to be much more dangerous for their faith, complacency. So that's why this sermon was preached and written and sent. They didn't use YouTube and Facebook then, but they wrote down the sermon and they sent it to them to say to them, look, remember what you have and persevere in it. Now, I think the writer is saying to us two things. Is it essential? Is church essential? First, the writer is saying no, not at all. And that's the first few verses. And then the writer goes on to say yes. Church is essential in a different way. So let's look at the no and then the yes. No, church is not essential. Well, look at verses 19. It'd be helpful if you have it in front of you. If you have it open, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. I just want you to notice a few details because it really helps you to find your way around the Bible if you notice this kind of thing. Just notice in verse 19, since we have, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have, it's talking about what Christians already have. And the same again in verse 21, since we have, the two things there that Christians already have. Because we have those things, there are some ways that we should respond. And you get three ways that we should respond in what follows. Verse 22 says, let us. And then verse 23 again, let us. And verse 24 again, let us. Three ways that we should respond because of what we have. Now, the things that we have are saying to us that church is not essential. The things that we need to do are saying to us, well, in another way, church is essential. So church is not essential. Let's look at what we have. The two things that we have there are the two big themes of Hebrews. You may remember me showing you this before. I'm going to put it on the screen again now, just showing you the structure. Every sermon has a structure. There's an introduction. That was chapters 1 to 4. Then there are the two main points which run from chapters 5 to 10. The first main point, that Jesus is our great high priest. The second main point, Jesus is our great sacrifice. And then the sermon ends with application of that, chapters 10 to 13. Well, today we're starting a little series of sermons and we're looking at the application in chapters 10 to 13. But that section of application begins with a little summary. It's a bit like my books here. I've got some books here about Hebrews. And if you imagine these books are the different chapters 5 to 10 that make the main point of Hebrews. Well, it starts and it ends with some very similar words. And those, they're like the bookends here that I used to keep my books together. And they start and they end with some very similar words that sum up those main points in the middle. Since we have, what do Christians have? Well, that's the first thing. I'm going to use some high tech here. I'm going to use post-it notes. There's all kinds of high technology appearing in church life, but I thought, well, this will work well. Let's give this a go. Let's try old-fashioned post-it notes. What do we have? Well, firstly, we have the cross. We have Jesus. We have Jesus dying for us on the cross, and that is the way that we come to God. If we have Jesus, we don't need anything else to come to God. We can go right in and be with him forever. And verses 19 and 20 say that Jesus is our sacrifice. Remember, that was one of those two main points in Hebrews. So it's a recap. You might not find it very easy to read and understand verses 19 and 20, and that is just because you and I don't have the same background that the readers had. They really knew the Old Testament well. They'd grown up with it. And they were actually tempted to go back to that Old Testament way of knowing God, of having a special building, a temple, and doing special things in that building. And the writer is saying, well, you already have Jesus for that. So he's using the language of their temple and their sacrifices. And he's saying, no, you've got Jesus for that. You've got Jesus to enter. Verse 19, his blood. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. That's what you have if you're a Christian. You have the cross. You already have the sacrifice. You already have the priest. And that's verse 21. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, Jesus now is their high priest.
That's what we've got. Now, the writer is saying, look, we've already got that, so you don't need your special building. Just for a moment, just think about the person who died next to Jesus in Luke's gospel. He was about to die, and he came to know Jesus, put his faith in Jesus, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise on the day of your death. Now, that guy never went to church. He never did any of the special things that happen in church. He doesn't perhaps even speak to any Christians, only to Jesus. And yet he went straight to paradise. That is all you need. Do we need church? Is church essential? No, not at all. We have Jesus. That's what we have. But if we have that, then what are we going to do about it? Well, this is where we do need church. This is where church really is essential. And that's what the next few verses are about. The let us in verse 22, 23, 24. Let's look at each of those let us in turn. Just notice one word from verse 23. It's this word. It's the word faith. The word faith. I'm going to put it up here. Let us have faith. Just make sure you can see it. That's what verse 23 is saying we need. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Well, again, it's language from the Old Testament temple, but it's a very simple point. It's saying, look, since you have Jesus, you can actually go straight into God in your prayers and straight into his home forever. When you die, you've got access to God if you have Jesus. And since you have that, don't stand outside refusing to go into God, unsure whether you can go into God. Put your faith in that. Put your trust in that. Put your trust in Jesus, that he died for you. And actually go and be into God's presence. Speak to him. Put your life in his hands. Put your trust in the death of Jesus and go in to God where you can be with him forever. What a shame to have, for God to have done all of that for us, to have died on the cross for us. Great sacrifice. What a shame for that to have happened and it to go to waste in your life and in my life. What if we never put our trust in Jesus, or we don't keep our trust in Jesus? What a waste. What a shame. Since we have the cross, put your faith in Jesus. And then the second thing that we're to do, remember there are three. First one was faith, let us have faith. The second one was let us have hope. Let us have hope. And you can see that one in verse 23. You look for the word hope. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Don't swerve, don't wander, but keep going with that hope. You see, it's all very well to put your trust in Jesus and have access to God forever, but that is no good unless you keep that faith and keep trusting in Jesus. That's what the word hope is getting at. We've got to still be trusting in Jesus when we die. Otherwise, Jesus' death will be a waste and we won't be with God. So hope is really important. And then the third word, I think you probably can guess now what the third word is going to be, because in the Bible you often see these three words together. Faith, hope, and the word we're expecting is the word love. The word love. And there it is. You can see that word in verse 24. Here's the other let us. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of approaching. You see what he's saying? He's saying it's really essential that you have each other. You need that love for each other. It's a complete waste if Jesus died for us unless we put our trust in him. And that is a waste of time unless we keep our trust in him. And we can't keep our trust in him on our own. We're going to need each other, loving one another, helping one another, meeting together, not giving up that habit of meeting. So is church essential? Well, not at all. Jesus died for us. Yes, absolutely, because we've got to keep our trust in that until the end. So it would be great to sing about what a great gift it is to have one another, to have church, to have gathering, to be the people of God. You might rather listen than sing, and that is absolutely fine, but we're going to just play that song for you now. You're going to see the words on the screen. Let's take a few moments to reflect on that, and then I've got a little bit more to say afterwards. Well, that's a great song and a great encouragement to be the Church of Christ. But I just want us to think a little bit more about the last couple of sentences of our Bible reading, because that, I think, is where the whole thing is really heading. This idea of helping each other in love, helping each other to keep our faith in Jesus going until the end. And let me just read it for you again. In fact, we'll put these words up on the screen so we can really think about them closely. Verse 24 of Hebrews 10 says this: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Do you see the way the writer says there in verse 24? Let us consider how. It's not always going to be easy to keep working and functioning as a church, to keep encouraging each other, to help each other, to keep going in our Christian faith. That's not always going to be easy. It's going to take some thought. Now, they had to give it some thought. They were being persecuted. They were being put in prison. There have often been times in church life, in church history, when meeting together is not easy. And right now, meeting together is not easy. Being church is not easy. It won't be the same. And let us really think hard about how we're going to do that. How we're going to love each other. I mean, actually, we can love each other by not being in our church building at the moment. I think that is the right thing for us to be doing, because if we're really going to love each other, well, we don't. When you die, if you have Jesus, you have eternal life. But I want you here for a bit longer, and I hope you want to stay for a bit longer. God wants you here for a bit longer, I think, because we need you. We need each other. And there are lots of people who don't know Jesus who need you. So God will take you when it's time. But let's love each other by not rushing into that. And so I think meeting together in the church building right now would not be the right thing. And so we're going to have to think hard how. Do we make sure that we do? Because this is essential. So how are we going to make sure that we keep loving each other? And as church leadership, we've come up with some ideas, but you know, it's quite hard to do, isn't it? I guess you're finding it hard to pick up the phone. It's not always easy to bring yourself to do that. Some people love it, some people struggle. Hard to keep in touch with people who perhaps weren't so fully kind of connected with other church members. Are they still going to be in touch with us by the end of this? How are we going to do that? This is something for us all to be thinking about. How are our small group Bible studies a really helpful way of doing this? But how are we going to love the people who are not so finding those so appealing or so easy, or just for whatever reason it's not quite there for them? And we need to be giving this a lot of thought, considering how. And we need to be, you know, willing to spur one another on. I mean, we use that word, don't we, to spur. We have, if you're in a race and you want your horse to go faster, you have those little spikes in the back of your shoe, and you give the horse a jab. Sometimes we need a bit of a jab to keep going. And sometimes that is loving. I mean, gentle, not judgmental. But sometimes we need that. I need that. So how are we going to do that? Good deeds. I mean, there's not much you can do, is there, at the moment? You're stuck at home. There are not many options. But there are good things that we can do. There may not be as many, but we're really going to be looking for those openings. What would be a good, helpful, loving thing that I could do for someone else, or to help our society as we struggle with this lockdown and struggle to fight this disease? What good deeds could we be doing? Maybe not as many, but there'll be some. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together. Now, are you going to give up meeting together? Well, we can't meet together in a full sense. We can meet together, but not fully. I mean, we can't break bread together and share bread and wine and eat meals together. And that is what the writer is talking about. So we're pausing that, and we're doing the next best thing as far as possible. And that is vital. Let's meet together as much as we can, as soon as we can, because this is essential. But let's make sure that we don't lose that habit. There's something really helpful about saying 10:30, 5 o'clock, that's when I do it. I mean, I know we're all used to catch up TV. It'd be easy to confuse church and TV at the moment, think, oh, it's just a TV program, I'll watch it later. Much harder to concentrate on a church service than a TV program, I would think. And I struggle to concentrate on TV programs. I mean, I'll pop and get myself a coffee or be browsing my phone, not notice what's going on the screen. We're going to need to work at this. And I think that habit will be helpful. If we can keep the same times of the week and keep meeting at those times as far as we're able, and at the end of this to see if we still have that habit. It's vital to have that habit, because we need each other. Encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, they're in danger. The day Jesus is talking about, a day, it's mentioned a lot in the Bible, the day when we meet Jesus at the end of history and he puts everything right and we face his judgment. But if our faith is in him, then we have his mercy and we have eternal life. Well, that day is getting closer to us all the time. And right now we're more aware of that because we know people are dying all around us and we can't be sure it's not going to be us. We really see that day approaching, the day when we're going to meet God. Is this a time to be meeting together less? No. The Bible says this is a time when we need each other all the more. And we're not to give up meeting. And here's why. Because we have Jesus, so we have our faith in him. And we need to keep our faith in him until the end. And we need to love each other so that we can do that. We can't manage that on our own. So let's make it our goal and our focus over these coming weeks and months, and however long it is. When decisions come, you know, I guess the government will lift some of the restrictions when they feel they can, and perhaps those restrictions will come and go over a period of months or even longer, and there, at some point there may be opportunities for us to meet together, maybe not in the same way as we have at first, but will we take them as we're weighing up what is essential in our lives, and where are the risks that are worth taking and where are the risks that are not worth taking? I hope we'll remember how essential it is to be church. I just want to finish with a story that I really like. Some of you have heard me tell this lots of times. That's how it is with my stories, but I think this one is worth hearing again. A little boy asks his grandfather, oh, why do I need to keep bothering with church? It's so boring. Those hymns go on and on, and it's not my style of music, and I don't really like the people, and I really find it hard to focus and concentrate, and can't I just stay home? You know, maybe the kids are thinking that at the moment. Let's go upstairs and do the kids group. Oh, well, it's not quite as exciting as Minecraft. That's next on my YouTube channel. And the grandfather says to the little boy, he says, I'm going to tell you why you need to keep going to church. Watch this. And he goes over, it's winter, there's a fireplace, there are coals burning in it. And he takes one of those coals out of the fire and places it next to the fire. And at first, of course, it's bright red, just like all the other coals, but it's really hot. The grandfather sits there in silence, and the coal just gets cooler and cooler, and it changes colour. And after a while, he just goes and picks it up with his hand, because it's cold now. And he hands it to the little boy. That's why you need church, he says. See, we can be on fire with faith in Jesus and hope and love if we're together. But take us away from that for too long, and that will start to cool off. So let's pray that that wouldn't be the case for us or for any of the brothers and sisters that we love in our church family. I'm going to pray that now. Father, we pray for your help. At this time when it is so much harder for us to meet together, we pray that we would see it as essential. We pray that the death of Jesus would not go to waste in our lives or in any of the lives of the people that we love and know from the St. Matthew's Church family. Help us to keep our faith in Jesus, to hold unswervingly to our hope, and to consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We pray that that habit of meeting together would be there and would survive this lockdown and would be strong in us, and all the more as we see the day approaching when we meet you face to face. In Jesus' name, Amen.